What a blessing it is to be here with all of you and looking over this beautiful audience, and there is anticipation in the faces of the individuals who are here wanting to hear a word from the Lord, not necessarily because I am the one that is speaking this evening, but if you gather together in the Church of Christ, you're gonna anticipate hearing a word of the Lord. And I'm hoping that you're not disappointed this evening in coming and making a sacrifice on your Wednesday to come and assemble. Typically, we would assemble on Wednesday night for our Bible study, but there are perhaps those that are visiting, as has been said in the prayer, and as we look over the audience, we see some who are visiting from our sister congregations, and there may even be somebody from the community that is here, because I've been told that people have been putting out flyers and the publicity has been already spread across the city of Port Lavaca, announcing the meeting, and word got around individually inviting people to come out, and the success of the meeting is 99% contingent upon your effort, not my effort, but your effort. When people see that you are enthusiastic, that you are eager, that you are zealous for something, then they're going to develop a curiosity and want to go and find out exactly why these people are so excited about that thing, you know, about that thing. And so they come and they want to see exactly what it is. And so your efforts are the ones that are going to be rewarded in this meeting. And I want to say this to the congregation: for you to have a 6-day meeting, it really means that you really mean this, that you really mean to get the word of God out to the community, that you want to encourage the church also, but that you want to see people that are saved. I am praying and I am sweating each evening trying to compel somebody to obey the Lord. And if you say, I don't know, there may be somebody who say, I'm not going to beg anybody to save their souls. I will beg you. Believe me, I will beg you. Whenever Paul says, I beseech you, he says, I am begging. And so I am begging. If there's anybody here tonight who has not put Christ on in baptism, I am begging. And everybody else is begging also for you to come to the Lord. And so when the invitation is extended, those of you who know family members that are not in the body of Christ, I want you to give them the nod, and they may give you the nudge. And so you give them the nod, they may surprise you and give you the nudge, and will walk forward with you. And if you walk with them, and they begin a new life in Christ Jesus. This is the right place. This is the right time. You are the right people that are here tonight. Because if God wanted, and I know that it is not the will of God that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But in a special, special way tonight, God wanted you here. He wanted you here because if he did not want you here, you wouldn't be here. You would not be here. And so what God did, God froze fate, F-A-T-E. That is, he froze fate, F-A-T-E, that you could have died before this moment came, but you didn't. And God gave it to you for you to respond and for you to do something about your soul. If it is a young man, if it is a young woman, if it is an older man and an older woman, if it is an old man or an old woman, tonight has your name written all over it. And for those of us who have been perpetrating the greatest fraud known among man, and that fraud is that you are all right. I'm talking to us that are members of the body of Christ, that we have some things in our lives that we have to work out. You haven't done it by yourself so far, and you need some prayer, you need some help in those matters in your personal life. And there is somebody who knows your private affairs, and they are holding their breath just wishing that the ice would break and that you would come. And so tonight we are here for you, and we hope and trust that something will be said from this perfect law of liberty that might attend to the problems that are going on in your lives. And I want you to take your Bibles, and you know where we're going tonight. We're going, if you don't know by yet, let me announce it. We're going to Matthew chapter 16. And the title of this evening's discourse is The Blessed Believer. The Blessed Believer. I apologize for my extreme tardiness this evening, and I tried to get some notes printed at the place where I am, and so I went here and it didn't do it. Then I went there and it didn't do it. I sent it to the person at the desk, and it didn't come in. Then she came back, it didn't come in. Then she was gone for a while. She said it didn't come in, and so it didn't come in, and that made me a little bit later than I typically am. And but I apologize. I really humbly apologize. Apologize for that. Now I'm also saying it as a preface, because I had wanted to ask Brother Shan to lead us in the song "Blessed Assurance," because the title of this evening is "The Blessed Believer." And if you don't mind, let us sing a verse of that. Don't reach for your songbook, because enough of us know enough of at least the first verse and the chorus to sing that without our songbooks. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn off my mic so that I don't blow you out, all right? And I believe it'll help us get in the mindset of what we want to do tonight. And we're talking about the blessed believer. And if we at least cultivate the minds of individuals with that song, Blessed Assurance, maybe it might just be one step closer to them obeying the Lord. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of the glory divine. Heir of salvation, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Beautiful, beautiful. And as I said, I'm hoping that that song got someone just one inch closer to obeying the Lord tonight. And as we just said, that the title of this evening's discourse is The Blessed Believer. The blessed or the blessed believer, whichever is your preference for that word. But if we go back to Matthew chapter 16, where verse number 13, it says that Jesus had come into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they began saying that some say that thou art John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. John was not a Baptist. He was a baptizer. But John the Baptizer, Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said, "But whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, or Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, or Simon son of John, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee, but my Father that is in heaven, or which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And he compelled them, commanded them, instructed them that they would tell nobody that he was Jesus the Christ. Luke says that Jesus was trying to get away to pray, and the disciples came to him, and it is at that moment that he asked them the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they began to list what the rumor mill had crunk out, that some are saying that thou art John the Baptist. Well, am I John the Baptist? Some are saying that you are Jeremiah. Well, am I Jeremiah? Some saying that you are Elijah. Well, am I Elijah? No, you are none of those things. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in response to Peter's profession, Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, or Simon son of John, flesh and blood, your mother and your father, your culture, and none of these things reveal this to you, but my Father that is in heaven. In response to Peter's profession, Jesus told Peter that he was blessed. That's what I want to pull out of all of that we're looking at tonight. The idea that Jesus pronounced that Peter was a blessed person. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't see it and you don't believe it, if you are not totally and thoroughly convinced in your life that you are a blessed believer, then you are in the right place, because you need some preaching too. But if you are convinced that you are a blessed believer, then maybe you just need a little polishing to build up your confidence that you are indeed a blessed believer. Blessed. Blessed. Ladies and gentlemen, we are some of the most blessed people in the whole world. In fact, we are so blessed that we take a lot of things for granted. You take your young 15, 16-year-old, take away their computer, turn off the air conditioner, cut off the lights, not in the house, but at the electrical box. Put the car in the garage. Amen. Empty the refrigerator. Amen. Take all of their clothes from them. Give them one set of clothes to wear. Then they'll know how blessed they are. I remember when Hurricane Ike came through Huntsville, we didn't know how blessed we were. My daughter was so addicted to electricity, my daughter was so addicted to electricity that all the lights were out for almost 2 weeks that she forgot she went and got something, put it in the microwave, and tried to turn it on. If the lights don't work, the microwave ain't working either. The best way to find out or to realize exactly how blessed you are is to begin to do without what you already have. And what we have become so accustomed to, even so addicted to. I'm going to get back to that point in a second, Mike. But I believe the problem with Israel is that Israel did not realize exactly how blessed she was. How blessed she was. That here it is God that protected them. It is God that fed them. It is God that kept them safe. It is God that brought them out of the land of Egypt after more than 400 years. It was God that brought them out of Babylon for 70 years. It was God that rescued them from the Amalekites, from the Canaanites, from the Philistines, from all of these adversaries that came against them. It was God. They didn't realize exactly how blessed they were. Tonight I'm talking to the blessed or the blessed believer, or I'm talking about the blessed or the blessed believer. When Jesus heard what Peter said, Jesus pronounced a blessing. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of John." That word blessed, when we get to Matthew chapter 5 and we look at the Beatitudes. Well, the reason why they are commonly called Beatitudes is because the Latin word for blessed is that word. It is a version of the word beatitude. It is almost a transliteration, the same way they did with the word baptized. They simply took it and they Anglicanized the word, and that's why they term it. By the way, you don't see the word beatitude in the beatitude. You see the word blessed. Now, some other translations, that instead of using the word blessed or blessed, they use the word happy. They use the word happy. That is so inadequate for that word. Picture in your mind, Peter just said, Peter just said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Happy are you, Peter?" That don't even make any sense. It don't work. And so that word happy is really inadequate as far as even what that word is defined to mean in the original Greek. That when they define it in English as happy, as glad, the word might be closer to fortunate than it is to happy. And even fortunate doesn't rise up to the definition of what this word really means. One of the things that I say oftentimes when I'm dealing with people and I'm teaching the Bible, and then we come across a word, and then you look at the literal or the technical definition or the classical definition of the word, every time the classical definition of the word is not the way the word is used in every instance. Context defines a word. Context helps us to understand what a word is, more so than what the word means classically or what it means historically. And so you look at the word and see the context in which it is used, and then you come away with a good understanding of what that word is. Tonight we're talking about the blessed believer. Early on, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to get back to my point that I was making earlier, but early on, even there in Genesis chapter 1, after God in verse number 27 had made man, and how that God had made him in his own image, and that God did this, he told man, "Be fruitful and multiply." And the Bible says, and God blessed them. Verse number 22. Verse number 28 of chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. God blessed them. And here it is that we have that activity going on very early on. What happens to us, ladies and gentlemen, is that we just don't know how very, very blessed we really are. We don't know how blessed we are. You get up each morning, you hit the switch, the lights come on. You go and you take a warm shower or a warm bath. You go to the kitchen, and if the food is not already on the table, there's food enough in the pantry or in the refrigerator for you to have a nice breakfast. Then you get in your car, and you kids, you go to school, and the parents go to work, and they go to work, and they may work for $20 an hour. Those of you who have those good jobs, and those of us that have the regular job, we make about $10 or so an hour. And then after we finish work, then we get in our nice cars, we drive back home, though we stop at the restaurant and we get us something to eat. Finally, we make it back home. We turn on our nice TV. We don't turn it on by our hands. Everybody got a remote control. If they had to take your remote control, you wouldn't know what to do. That TV would sit in silence and darkness. Came home, true story, Shan. Came home. Somebody had lost the remote control. And it was stuck on the news channel. And my children are sitting there. Say, why don't somebody turn? We can't find them. Get up and push it with your hand. Well, I have to confess that prior to that, when we had another TV and we lost the remote control, I got me a 6-inch pole poking it from my seat. I'm not lying either. Change the channel. What channel y'all want to look at? You know, a little bit louder, you know. We can't appreciate how blessed we really are. I want you to go to someone. We have somebody in this room tonight that is more than 90 years old. We have someone that is knocking on 80 years old. I want you kids to go to these older individuals and ask them about it. Ask them about it. Ask them about going in the backyard and pumping water and bringing it into the house. Then warm that water on that old pot belly stove. You didn't take a bath in the bathtub. You took a bath in a foot tub. Amen. You didn't have a refrigerator. You had an ice box. And the reason why it was called an ice box, because you put ice in a box. Am I lying? It's the truth. They had two set of clothes. They had work clothes and Sunday clothes. And guess what they did with the Sunday clothes? They put them under the mattress so it can be ironed come, amen. So it can be ironed come Sunday. I remember as a boy, my mother, of course, my mother raised us five and my aunts three children. And my mother came home and found me one day playing marbles in my school clothes. And she nearly killed me. She beat me everywhere. You out here playing with them good school clothes? It's the same clothes I'm going to wear tomorrow. But then here it is, you wear out the knees and you wear the clothes out. Well, today people go to the store and buy clothes with knees worn out. I ain't got that figured out yet. Larry, I don't feel that one. I think I want to wear out my own clothes. And here it is, you're going out there, you're paying $110 for a pair of raggedy jeans. And you think you're looking hot in that. You ought to feel a draft, if anything. The point I'm making, and I'm sorry for this digression, but the point I'm making is that we just don't know how blessed we are. Even when you look at it from a biblical perspective, those of us that are living in New Testament times, we are so blessed. We don't have to go down to the temple and grab a sheep or grab a bullock, bring it to the priest and hand it over to the priest and make a sacrifice. All the Jews had to go to Jerusalem at least three times a year. They had to do all of those things. Then you had the various washings and all of these things and the limitations and the impositions that were placed upon women. You could not do certain things on the Sabbath day. Thank God for Jesus. We are blessed. Individuals, you're the ones I'm talking to tonight. I'm talking to the blessed believer. David, if there was one thing that David extolled so often, it was how blessed he was. Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, that blessed man's delight, is in the law of the Lord. And guess what? On it doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Why? Because he's a blessed individual. I'm talking about the blessed believers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a cesspool called the world. Yes, we are. But we're still blessed. There's a lot of crime going on. There's a lot of bad things that go on a regular basis. But guess what? We are still blessed. And the reason why we are so blessed is that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are blessed. And so I confer with David. Blessed is the man. that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. If I was talking to a group of young people, I would tell them, you don't walk with them, stand with them, you don't sit with them. Because when you walk with them, you're associating. When you're standing with them, you're identifying. And when you're sitting with them, you are participating. Y'all write that down. That's from Anderson's crazy mind. But David is saying, you don't do it. Blessed is the man that doesn't do it. Blessed is the man. And you know what? The world that we're living in, Brother Jackson, is that the world is teaching someone who does not do it, you are not blessed. You crazy, man. What's wrong with you? Something up with you. They're telling the girls, you ain't down with everybody else. We don't want you around us. You ain't like us. You know, you ain't got the hot sauce in the bag swag. You old folk don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking to the wrong crowd tonight, amen? Ask your grandchildren when you get home, all right? Ask them what that is. Fact of the matter is, when you live as though you are blessed, the world try to make you feel so weird and so odd. You mean tell me you don't do that? Go to a place, you want something, you want a drink? Yeah, water. Oh, you don't drink? Yeah, I just said water. You know? And so they look at you as if you are strange. But I'm a blessed believer. I'm going to say this, and this is not among us, but this is very important. Listen, young people, God always allows the most and forbids the least. You know what the devil wants you to think? He wants you to think that God want to kill your fun. That's what God want to do. He want to kill your fun. How many trees in the garden could the woman and the man eat from? All of them except one. And that's the way the devil works. He does not show you the vast variety of things you can do, but he tells you what you can't do. And he gets you focused on it. And he gets you thinking that you are not blessed. Here it is, Eve and Adam. Everything Adam planted, it came up good. They were naked, but yet they were well taken care of. They ate what they wanted to. But the devil convinced them, God holding out on you. And God trying to kill your fun. I tell young folks this way, I ain't trying to kill your fun. I'm trying to make sure your fun doesn't kill you. The blessed believer. So here it is, David said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it doth he meditate both day and night. If you want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, meditate on God's word and don't walk with the ungodly, the scornful, or these individuals. The blessed believer. Every now and then we just have to remind you about how truly blessed you are as a believer. And when Jesus pronounced it to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, look how fortunate you really are. Look how fortunate you really are. Now, we are thinking, you go back and look at it. I'm winding this lesson down already. You go back and you look at it, ladies and gentlemen. That we look at Peter's profession so cavalier. We look at it as almost pedestrian, as almost, you know what? That's a good thing Peter said. What Peter said back then, 2,000 years ago, in that climate, that Jesus was the Son of God, that was heretical. It'll get you killed, put out the synagogue, labeled, marked. But he said it. He said it. And ultimately, it was going to be something that caused Peter's death. But guess what? That even when, for the believer, for the blessed believer, that even dying is a blessing. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 13. John said, then I heard a voice saying, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You can't lose by being a blessed believer. And that's what we are. Now, what I have in my notes at this particular time is this. Is that really what makes the believer so blessed? The thing that makes the believer so blessed is this. Is that we have all of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. It says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Well, what are those spiritual blessings? The spiritual blessings are this, is that we can be called a son of God. Romans chapter 8, that we are the children of God. Verse number 16, if I'm not mistaken, that we are the children of God. What are the spiritual blessings that makes us blessed believers? We have hope. We have hope. Well, what is hope, Anderson? Hope, and listen to me, and I told you this last time I was here, Keith, that this is what hope does. Hope always looks that way. Hope never looks this way. Faith looks this way. Faith says, I'm standing. But hope is always looking forward. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, if I'm not mistaken. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience what? Wait on it. The blessed believer has hope. That's the thing that makes us blessed or blessed. Now, this is the wrap up of the whole lesson. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get to John chapter 6 and verse number 68-69, after Jesus had told the people, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And they said, it's a hard saying, who can hear it? And from that point, many of his disciples followed him no longer. And then the Bible says, Jesus turns to the 12 and he asked them the question, will you leave me also? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. And this is what he says, Mike, in verse 69. And we believe and are sure that you are the Son of the living God. Do you get it? Anybody who makes such a declaration, there is a redundancy, there is a repetition here. He says, we believe and are sure that you are the Son of the living God. Let's go and do a survey of everybody that is here tonight. Can you make such a brazen, bodacious a declaration as Peter made, that we believe and are sure that you are the Son of the living God? That's not my last point. My last point is found in the book of John, again, chapter 20. And this time, Jesus is resurrected from the grave. The disciples, the disciples, John and Peter, have gone to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And they go back to the place where they are hiding. They're not in public, but they are hiding because of fear of the Jews. Jesus comes in, the door being shut. He says, peace be unto you. And he showed them his hands, and he showed them his side. But Thomas, which is called Didymus, was not there. Are you with me so far? Just do this if you're with me. Rub my neck. You don't have to amen, but just let me know you ain't sleeping. It's not bedtime yet. And then when the disciples told, or the apostles told Thomas, the Lord, we have seen the Lord. And what does Thomas say? I will not believe unless I see his hand and I thrust my fingers into his side. 8 days later, The door's being shut once again. You gotta like this. Jesus comes in once again and he says, peace be unto you. And he goes to Thomas and he shows Thomas his hands. And he tells Thomas, go on and put your hand in my side. Believe. Thomas says, my God, I believe. This is the point here. Jesus says what? Blessed are those who believe, having not seen. That's why we are so fortunate. That's why we are blessed believers. I'm not finished yet, because this is the wrap up right now. The question has to be on the floor tonight is this. Which one do you want to see? Do you want to see the print in Jesus' hand, or do you want to see Jesus' handprint? Oh, don't answer yet. Let me tell you what the difference is. Because you can see the print in his hand, and that is a one-time thing. But guess what? If you see his handprint, that's an everyday thing. David said in Psalms 19, he said, the earth and the firmament, they'll declare God's what? Handiwork. What is his handprint? His handprint are the changed lives that we witness. 3,000 people would not have been baptized on the day of Pentecost if they were not thoroughly convinced and sure that Jesus was the Son of God. Cornelius would not have obeyed it. Acts chapter 10. The people of Samaria would not have obeyed it. Acts chapter 8. Paul or Saul of Tarsus would not have obeyed it. Acts chapter 9. Lydia and all of her family would not have obeyed it. Acts chapter 16. The Philippian jailer and all of his family would not have obeyed it. Acts chapter 16. Those 12 disciples of John would not have obeyed it. Acts chapter 19. What are you saying, Anderson? I'd rather see his handprint than the print in his hand, because it is stamped on the changed lives of people. And that's what we see all the time. A blessed believer. We want to see his handprint tonight on your life, a changed life. We want to see that handprint. Nothing can change a life like the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go to Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil can't change your life. You can go and sit on Oprah's couch and talk with her and Gail. They can't change a life. But the gospel of Jesus Christ can change the lives of those Samaritans who were at enmity with the Jews, change the life of this man who was killing believers, bringing them bound in chain and all of that. What do you want to see tonight? There's somebody who said, well, I want to see the handprint. I want to see the print in his hand. No. I'd rather see his handprint stamped on the lives of people whose lives have changed. We are praying for you tonight. Even though I'm talking in my mind, I'm praying right now for you. I'm praying for you. There are some people who are not in Christ tonight. We want to see that handprint of Jesus on you. A changed life. Change you from a person who has sinned to a person who has been washed in his blood. And it's now sinless. Brother Shan has announced the song that we're going to sing for encouragement. But you know what? At the same time Shan sings that song, you're going to have to visualize in your mind Matthew 11:28, Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We are singing, but Jesus is saying, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. And he wants you to come. Are you willing to come tonight? Are you willing to confess that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? There is water on the other side of that wall. We don't have to go down to the bay.
We don't have to go down and find a watering pool. That's how blessed we are. You don't even have to get your own clothes wet. There is clothes for you to change into so you can be baptized tonight. Instead of disappointing God, why don't you surprise the devil? Instead of disappointing God, why don't you surprise the devil? Because he has all of his chips on you not obeying tonight. He is banking on it. And when you leave, he's going to say, I got it. I got her. One more day. God is disappointed. Instead of disappointing God, surprise the devil. And even surprise some of us, because we ain't seen it coming. Because you're here tonight and you've been putting this stuff off for a long time. Instead of disappointing God, surprise the devil tonight. Let's see his handprint on your life. Oh, I'm thinking that's a wonderful thought. Take it back with you, Mike, and ask somebody at some point. Ask him, what do you rather see? The print in Jesus' hand or his handprint? I mean, I want to see the print in his hand. But then you explain the difference between seeing the handprint or the print in his hand and the handprint. Disappoint God, surprise the devil. Well, please God tonight, as together we stand and sing, you can begin coming.